Hi, I'm Jared Sebesta, host of Repurposed. Thank you so much for downloading this podcast.
To be able to love on people and to be able to leave a legacy in people's lives, that's what hockey became about. Hockey became my tool to impact lives for Christ. When I would look out at the ice, you know, just before a game or even be during a game, and maybe things didn't go the way that I wanted, like, I knew that God had it all in his hands and that ultimately he was setting me up to impact the exact lives I was created to impact. And that empowered me to stay confident.
Hey everybody, and welcome to Repurposed, a show dedicated to inspire you to live a life of purpose, intentionality, and of impact. I'm your host, Jared Sebesta of Taichus Financial Group, a retirement planning firm based in West Central Minnesota, where we teach and inspire what we call true wealth. To us, it's more about money. Our clients, we want to inspire true wealth, a life of purpose and intentionality when it comes to their life and their retirement. For more information, go to our website, taichusfinancial.com. Well, on this episode of Repurposed, I'm bringing you a conversation with a guy by the name of Gary Steffes. Now, Gary retired from professional hockey in 2017 with a seven-year career at the East Coast Hockey League and American Hockey League levels. And before that, he played Division I college hockey at Miami University in Ohio, competed in two Frozen Fours, and won national championship game. Gary now serves as campus director for FCA Hockey in Alexandria, Minnesota. He's got a brand new book coming out called The Mental Side, where he gets to the heart of maximizing performance while being true to who we were created to be. We talk a lot about identity and purpose versus performance and society's views on achievement. This is a great conversation. Here's my chat with Gary Steffes. Yeah, so you were an ex-professional hockey player, which I want to get into your career and hear more about that. But before we get to that, tell us a little bit about what you do now.
So I work with the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, the hockey branch of the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. And we're here in Alexandria, Minnesota, getting to be a part of the North Star Christian Academy and building this brand new $8.1 million facility. It's a tremendous blessing to be a part of. But majority of my time is spent pouring into pro and college and teenage hockey players all over the globe. And just investing in them and helping them grow in their faith and also helping them grow as hockey players.
When did you get involved with FCA? Was this while you were playing professional hockey, or did that come after?
I actually got involved probably around 2010. The national director of FCA had reached out to me in my senior year of college, and I just started helping out at camps. I started helping out with some of the events that were happening, and that slowly grew, and I eventually became an intern with them, and then eventually became a staff member. And I've been on staff now for 6-7 years, and even while I played professional hockey, and I would kind of rotate between going part-time and full-time throughout the season.
Yeah, FCA stands for Fellowship of Christian Athletes. Did you go to events? Were you traveling the world putting on, you know, I guess not necessarily shows, but like programs for people? Or what's it actually do?
So FCA Hockey is all about igniting the hockey world for Jesus Christ and investing in athletes and in coaches, helping them become incredible, incredible men after Jesus' heart that are incredible fathers and husbands and also incredible athletes. And we want to bring the two together and just empower people in the gifts that God's given them. And so we do that in so many different ways, whether it's calls with guys, whether it's camps, whether it's events. We take teams, the secular tournaments. We've traveled to Italy and to Turkey, and we've taken teams overseas, and we've worked and just done multiple events. We now have a prep hockey team here where kids are attending school each day and playing hockey, and we're getting to invest in lives. And so we want to help people grow in their faith and at the same time help them excel as hockey players. And we do that in so many different ways. And it's an honor to be a part of.
That's awesome. Tell us a little bit about your career.
Yeah, so I grew up in Michigan and playing hockey most of my entire life. Incredibly thankful to be able to play. And I moved away from home at 16. I played in Canada for a bit. Eventually went to a junior league in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. And that led me ultimately to college at Miami University in Ohio. So I played there for 4 years, had a tremendous experience. Got to go to the NCAA tournament, got to go to the national championship game. We got to go to the Frozen Four twice. We've been here to Minnesota playing in the Gopher Arena, and eventually turned pro. I played 7 years all over the country. I played in Tulsa, Oklahoma for 3 years. At that time, we were an affiliate to the Colorado Avalanche. Eventually went to Bakersfield, California, and then finished my career for 3 years with an affiliate to the San Jose Sharks, who was a team named the Allen Americans, just outside of Dallas, Texas.
Cool. And you just retired not too long ago, right?
Yeah, just in time, May 2017. So okay. I just retired.
What was the pinnacle of your hockey experience? Was it playing in the pros or the Frozen Four? What was that?
The pinnacle was probably getting to score in the national championship game. I mean, that was a major one. A second one, we got to win a championship in, a couple championships when I played in Dallas, and there, it is just such an incredible joy when you get to be a part of an experience like that. And we had some comebacks we were down 3-1 in a series and we came back and we won in game seven. And then we won in game seven the next series to win the whole thing. And, you know, we did it the next year too, you know, winning in some big games. So those memories are, you know, they're all special to me.
Did you want it? Is everybody's goal to get to the NHL? Is that how you viewed it, or just take it as far as you could take it?
You know, there are the occasional guys that had some different ambitions, but I'd say that every single hockey player that I've ever met has a dream to want to play in the NHL, and that drives them. And the higher you get, the closer guys are, the more driven guys can get. And then you'll find your guys, you know, that have been playing professional hockey for a long time, that they love it, and they do it for a job, and they love their families involved, and they're not as much seeking the NHL as they are just kind of playing hockey, and they're competing, and they're incredible athletes, and they love the organizations that they're a part of. So, but I'd say, majority guys want to play in the NHL. Mm. Absolutely.
Interesting. You got a book coming out called The Mental Side. It's coming out Christmas 2018. Tell us about the book. Why'd you write it?
Yeah. So The Mental Side, in doing ministry with FCA, I've gotten to connect with so many athletes all across the world, and so many guys wrestle with the same stuff, wrestle with identity, they wrestle with their purpose, they wrestle with hockey becoming life to them, to where fear of failure and fear of what other people think, and dealing with mistakes and coaches' responses and being rejected and being traded and dealing with injuries and handling peer pressure. Athletes go through so many similar things from a mental perspective, from a team perspective, and I just found myself constantly having the same conversations over and over again, and mostly it was my story again and again. Like, I was an incredibly inconsistent athlete, you know, through most of my career, and it wasn't until I came to faith in Jesus Christ in my junior year of college that so much changed, and I began to understand that I was more than just a hockey player. God had created me to be somebody so much greater than just a hockey player. Hockey wasn't who I was, it was just what I did. And as these things began to work in my life, and my consistency levels began to grow, the mental side to the game actually started to become one of my strongest points. And so anyways, in these conversations, through my own experience, like, it ultimately led, I remember in October 2016, I just felt like the Lord put on my heart so strongly that I needed to turn this into a professional resource and have this available to all of our athletes around the world and to anyone else that would be interested in doing it. And so that's where it began. And so I've been writing this for 2 years now, amidst my job and amidst my career, and just working at this amidst all that we're doing. And I am officially done. And I am so excited to get this published.
Yeah, good for you.
In the hands of as many athletes as we can.
Good for you. Good for you. I like how you focus on, like, the mentality. Like, it's almost like a mental game. And I didn't play professional sports. I rode the bench at college basketball. So not quite the same career path that you took. But, you know, this idea of the one thing I love about sports, it teaches you to be so strong mentally. And if you're not strong mentally, it really plays into your performance. But what you're saying is that when you became a believer, it was like your purpose shifted, and that helped you deal with the lows, because there's no way you go through a season of any sort or even a game without adversity and lows. Talk about that a little bit.
Absolutely. And there's no question. Like, when I encountered Christ and began to just build a relationship with the Lord, and I began to learn that God created me for so much more than just than just hockey. It wasn't about putting the puck, you know, as many times behind the net as I could and being the chief leading scorer of the league and being a captain of a team and getting all the praises from my coach and praises of others. Like, now I realize that God had something so much bigger for me, that I was an ambassador, somebody to impact lives for him. And that drive to be able to love on people and to be able to leave a legacy in people's lives, like, that's what hockey became about. Hockey became my tool to impact lives for Christ. And so when I would play, when I would look out at the ice, you know, just before a game or even be during a game, and maybe things didn't go the way that I wanted, like, I knew that God had it all in his hands and that ultimately he was setting me up to impact the exact lives I was created to impact. And that empowered me to stay confident. That empowered me to keep pushing through adversity, because no matter how I did on the ice, I was going to be the same guy off the ice when I was done. Whether we won, whether we lost, whether I scored four goals or I scored no goals or whatever happened, I was going to be the same guy in God's eyes. And my purpose, like, God was setting me up to impact lives for him. So ultimately that drove me to compete harder. That drove me to push harder through adversity and to not give up. And at times when I want to step into the office and ask for a trade, that purpose that God just brought into my life drove me to not go ask for a trade and to keep pushing through and keep enduring. And so it was huge for me to be able to overcome.
Talk about the other side of that too. The flip side is scoring the three goals, in the game and having all the accolades. When you're grounded in your purpose, would you feel like that keeps you more grounded? And not to say that you can't celebrate. I mean, I think God wants us to succeed and be great at what we do. But did it help you, you know, keep life in more perspective maybe than somebody who didn't have that perspective on life?
Absolutely. I would say for sure when you become successful, that is probably one of the biggest tests that we face. You know, in trial, you find yourself on your knees crying out for help, you know, pretty easily, I guess, because you're battling through. But when you're in success, like, it is definitely tough to not let that get to your head and to not let that distract you from where you were, you know, what you're really doing there. And so absolutely, I think the times when I was blessed to be successful, remaining true in my identity in Christ and remembering that ultimately at the end of the day, no matter where I ended up or where I played, like, God had me there to be able to love on my teammates and to love on my coaches and love on the community and to impact as many people as I could and just love on as many people as I could. And those opportunities were there every day. And so I wanted to be the best athlete I could possibly be. But at the same time, like, bigger than that, like, that was just a tool to be able to serve and love people around me.
That's awesome that you figured that out while you were there in the spotlight doing that. That's awesome. I, for those of you who listen to this show and have heard my, you know my story. I've said it before, but I did TV for 12 years, and I would say, TV, that the biggest, boy, what's the word? The biggest struggle is exactly what you said. Having some success, especially being a guy, a competitive guy with like an athletic style nature, which is everybody that you're talking about, and then you get some success. And in TV, it was a very, I would say, ego stroking type of job, because you got to go on television. And so if you're on TV, you're instantly like something, you're like a borderline. People see you on, they see you on TV and then they see you at the store. And so it wasn't uncommon where people would go out and they recognize you all the time. And as much as I loved it, it fed something in me and it took my identity and put it into my job. You know what I mean? And I think what you're saying is that, a lot of the people that you came in contact with, played with, probably teammates, you saw them where, like, when they were high, they were high. But when they were low because they didn't have that grounding factor, and their identity was probably wrapped perhaps too much in hockey. When you left hockey, did you feel that crunch where you ever asked yourself, who was I, or was that already established at this point?
Yeah, I totally understand and relate with you completely. For me, it's the experience of it all was there as well. Like, it's so tempting to just want to cling to it, right? Like, when your success happens and that spotlight comes, like, to just want to set your heart on it and cling to it and not lose it. And I would find myself, you know, at times, like, you drive, like, you fight so hard not to set your heart on loving it, and yet, you know, like, you become so afraid of losing it
that's exactly right.
Something that you now live out of fear with. And so, yeah, I think as guys especially, like, we have to constantly be aware of that. We have to constantly stay before the Lord and stay in communication with Him and just processing our emotions and these things that go with that, because it's so tempting to want to look to our job and to want to look to the things that we do as ways to define us. And that's actually something I put in my book. It's one of my first kind of sections of the whole book, is that we are not what we do. We are who God declares us to be. Basically saying that, like, your achievements and your job and your stats and where you are in the depth chart and what your coach says about you and what people say and how much money you have and your status in life, that's not who you are. Like, that is not who you were created to be. God created you to be something so greater. We're who He declares us to be. And that living there in success or in failure has been, you know, the way to live confident and to win in our hearts and our minds that I've experienced personally.
Yeah, that's great. I again, totally relate to everything you're saying. And I think what people need to hear and understand is that gives you actually tremendous freedom. And I think that you know exactly what I'm talking about. When your identity isn't grounded in whether I win this game, or, like you just said, how much money I make or how successful I am in the world's eyes, it's tremendously liberating. Would you say?
Oh, absolutely. 100%. It's a fight. Like, you have to fight for it. You have to fight for it every day.
Yeah.
Like, it's not a achieve it one time and keep it. Like, you know this. Like, it's a fight every day to be able to surrender that. But you're right. When you live there, it is freeing. It is so empowering, and it is so joyful, and you're driven, and you're more passionate, and you drive with excellence, and your everything in your life comes to a higher level, from your relationships to your work to just the attitude and the perspective you have in life. You know, it is, like you're saying, it's freeing.
Yeah, that's awesome. Talk about, like, just even the word purpose. I'd love to hear what your definition of purpose in life is. And then kind of step number two question to that is, what do you tell guys that you're working with that are struggling to kind of find that purpose or find that deeper meaning to life?
Yeah, so I guess when I think about purpose in life, I guess what I would say is ultimately understanding that we were created as eternal beings to have a relationship with God and to understand when you can understand that you were created for so much more than just the material pursuits of the day and to earn the favor and the approval and the opinions of people. And to be able to become great in the world's eyes, like, when you understand that there's so much more to life than that, like, that's where I absolutely believe that you experience your purpose, is when you connect with the very reason that you were created for, which is ultimately for relationship with God and to be able to love others and impact lives. Well, we can understand that, and then we can put that into the context of what we do. So we put that into the context of our sport, for me as an athlete, or you put it into the context of your business as a business person or an entrepreneur or a salesperson or a dad or a mom or a friend to others. And you can understand that ultimately we were created for this relationship with God and created to love others. That can fall into any context, and it gives you a cause and a reason and a drive far beyond what you do and far beyond what other people say about you. And it also gives you the freedom and the victory apart from those things, so that even if people think less of you, or even if you lose your job, like, your purpose does not change, and it's there. And so, but I would say, I would answer your question saying that, and just coming to understand that there's more to we were created for so much more than just to live for what's in front of us from a worldly perspective.
Yeah. You've got to come across guys who their whole life is hockey, and so you have this exact conversation. What's the reaction like? Is it like, yeah, I get it, or is there still that fight that you can see in these young guys' eyes that this is their life and this is why they're on planet Earth?
Oh, well, for sure. Honestly, it's empowering to people, I think, when we have these conversations, because this is fresh air to so many people, right? Yeah. Like when they understand and they realize that they don't have to earn the approval of the hockey world. Like there's more to life than that. That's actually freeing to them. Now that doesn't mean it's easy for them to grab onto, because these things go deep into our hearts. Like these go way back. Like, I mean, for me as an athlete, so much of the reason that I put my identity in hockey was because, you know, I wanted my dad's approval, and I ended up looking to my coaches to validate me, to validate me as a man. And there was times when I was a kid that I felt bullied, and I felt like others picked on me. So I wanted to be a great hockey player to prove them wrong and to be able to prove that I was somebody that they wouldn't pick on. And so all these different experiences from my past all led me to want to draw my worth and value and significance from this stuff. And so I had to go back into the roots of my heart and really pull some things out and get right with God and forgive certain people and let go of certain stuff and just process some built up emotions on things that I've really kind of put into a shell. It just kind of put into these corners of my heart. And as I did that, the ability to understand and process and live in purpose that God created for me and the identity that God created for us, like to live in that became easier. So when I tell athletes about these things, like it's empowering, it's encouraging, but there's still a ton of roots that have got to get pulled. And it just takes time, and it takes conversations, and it takes experiences and just commitment over time to keep rehearsing again and again and again through so many experiences, who God made us to be. And to live in that. So I would say, yeah, it's empowering, Jared. And at the same time, it's the start to a long journey.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, just on a personal note, when I left my television career, and I'm just now seeing that because I've been out now about 4 years. The first 2 years that I was out, my heart was still tied to my identity of who I was in my old career. There was like this rebalance that had to happen. And I remember waking up and telling my wife one day, I was like, you know, I just don't care anymore. And she's like, what? And I said, I don't care that this isn't who I am anymore. And it was such a liberating thing. And it was everything that you talked about. It was like I had a total reset of my heart being reestablished in my purpose. So this whole conversation, folks, that we're talking about is so huge in identity. And I think you're probably dealing with the struggle that I've struggled with telling people this. When they're in it, it's so much more difficult when they're in it. Would you say, you know, you're talking to these guys who they're in it and they're playing and you're telling them that there's something more. It might be a breath of fresh air, but it might take time for them to really connect those dots. Would you say?
Oh yeah, absolutely. And that's just where, you know, one of the biggest reasons why we get to do what we do. Yeah. Like we just get to walk with guys through different stuff. And yeah, there's definitely times where you just want, like, you just almost like, come on, man, you gotta understand this. But you know what? They're gonna, and every little bit is another seed planted, and it's another step forward. And we get the privilege to love on people and encourage them.
That's right. This whole journey of life and identity and purpose, man, it's exactly right. It is a journey. We got about a minute left here, Gary, before I let you go. Last question I love to ask all of my interviewees. Is there one thing that we could do to have more impact on people in this world? A takeaway from people listening to this show, what would you say it would be? You talked about loving on people. You've went there already. Something else.
I think becoming incredible servants and incredible encouragers. Like if we can go into every day looking for opportunities to serve people around us and just bless other people and encourage other people. Like instead of talking behind people's backs, or instead of even talking poorly about people, like, you know, from a venting standpoint or others, like obviously I understand we have times we got to vent things out, but if we can be a people that talk up about people and build people and we encourage people and we serve people, like this world's going to change in so many ways, right? So for me, I would add that, to just not only love and fight and impact lives, but serve people, encourage people, build people up, and point people to Jesus Christ.
Well, I hope you enjoyed this conversation with Gary Steffes. Everything changes when we find our true purpose, especially, and it should, because that should change our perspective on our lives and even our jobs and careers. Gary said during that conversation that becoming a believer, everything changed, that hockey was merely a tool for him to live and be an ambassador for Jesus. If you want more information on Gary and his upcoming book, The Mental Side, just visit fcahockey.com. That'll do it for this week's episode of Repurpose. Just a reminder, this show is based on a book by Ben Tages called Repurpose, The Untold Story of Retirement in America. If you want the first two chapters of that book totally free, just go to our website, tagesfinancial.com, and then click on Heard Us on the Radio for your free gift. And a big thanks to Faith Radio for helping us sponsor this program. If you missed any or all of this episode, just visit myfaithradio.com to hear or download the podcast there. I'm Jared Sebesta. We'll see you next time on Repurposed. Hey, thanks for listening to the podcast of Repurposed. This media is only available because of listener support just like you. If you want to make a gift right now, you can go to the website, myfaithradio.com. And if you do that, we would appreciate that so much. Also, thanks in advance for sharing these podcasts with your friends online. It's an easy way to help spread the impact of Repurposed. And just one more thing, subscribe. You can find Repurposed on iTunes or your favorite podcast player.